According to the 2011 National Census, more and more Canadians are living in urban areas. However, much of the growth in recent years is on the outskirts of major metropolitan areas. Winnipeg's continued this trend with a lot of suburban growth and growth in suburban and rural municipalities like West St. Paul and Springfield, exceeding the growth rate of the city of Winnipeg. Increasingly, Canadians want to live attached to cities, but not necessarily in cities. Christopher Leo is professor of politics at the University of Winnipeg and writes extensively about the development of cities, both academically and on his blog. He joins me to discuss this trend. Thanks for coming in, Chris.
Thank you for asking me.
In a recent blog post, you discussed the notion that Canadians have a love-hate relationship to cities. Why are we increasingly repelled from cities and at the same time attracted to them?
Oh, it's a complicated question. I guess maybe the first thing to say in response to it is that your generalization that people want to live around cities but not in them, there's some exception to that in that there's also at the same time a trend in the direction of a greater preference for real city living. By real city living, I mean in more in apartment buildings and various kinds of multifamily things with commerce nearby and so on, and a real urban lifestyle. There is a growing trend toward that as well. I would have said that in the past, the demand for that kind of housing was maybe 20% of the demand. I think it's getting on toward 30%. It could very possibly go as high as 40%. Probably won't go any higher than that because the suburban reality is also a firm one.
Suburban communities are often sold as oases of nature. And for just personal disclosure, I grew up in a subdivision called Ocean Bluff. And there was no view of the ocean or any bluff in my neighborhood.
That's typical.
But how realistic is this view of suburban life?
Well, people want to, I mean, there's a very strong demand for living in green environments. And actually, the low-rent version of that is the one that you and most people grew up in. And that is a conventional suburb like Linden Woods. There's now a growing trend in the direction of a higher rent version of that, which is exurban, outside the city on maybe 1, 5, or 10 acres of land in some location in the middle of the countryside. That's where the new exurbanites, the new people that are trying to flee cities, are escaping if they have the means to do it. It's a much more expensive proposition, obviously. It's also expensive for society because it's hard on the environment. People have to commute long distances for that lifestyle.
And what do you think it is that's pushing the growing role of those kind of communities in our society?
Well, there has always been a real urban and non-urban split in society, and it's a real culture war. There's a real force behind it. People who prefer urban suburban environments or exurban ones outside the city. Exurban is the term I use to refer to that situation, so I'll just use that. For people who prefer those environments tend to hate cities. They tend to think of themselves as escaping from the city. And that's associated with a really strong feeling that there's something really nasty and bad about cities. And at the same time, people who prefer urban environments and that modestly growing proportion of the population tend to be suburban haters. So it's a real culture war.
And you wrote that even for those people that are choosing that exurban lifestyle, they're still attached to the city in all sorts of ways, are they not?
Well, there are all sorts of reasons why. I mean, there are fundamental reasons why we need cities. Why do we have cities? We have them because that's where all sorts of things happen that really can only happen in that environment. I'm talking about all kinds of creativity, all kinds of invention, all kinds of entrepreneurial activity. If you if you want to, you know, if you want to be an industrialist or a famous inventor, you're very, very unlikely to do that living somewhere out in the countryside. Or if you're living out in the countryside, it'll be within easy commuting distance of the city, because that's the only way you get the interactions that it takes for all of those kinds of things to happen. Those are fundamental reasons why we need cities, and they're also part of the reason why some people, a significant proportion of the population, love cities. That's where the action is. That's where things are happening. If you think of it in terms of why do people want to sit in the on a patio on Corridon Avenue on a Friday evening? Because there's lots of activities. You get to go there to see and be seen. You look at other people, they look at you. And that's it's the interaction of lots of people that's not only necessary economically for a lot of activities, but that's also is a real human need for a lot of people, not everybody.
Progressives often attack suburbs as being ugly, antisocial, anti-environmental, or accuse them of all sorts of stereotypes. You quote one of the critics of suburbia on your website, who writes, "We drive up and down the gruesome suburban boulevards of commerce, and we're overwhelmed at the awesome stupefying ugliness of absolutely everything in sight." And you say that this kind of rhetoric is counterproductive, given how suburbs are becoming an important political constituency in our society. Is that right?
Well, full disclosure, I tend to feel the same way about suburbs. I don't like suburban environments. But if you're going to deal realistically with what it is, how can we constitute our cities, what's a way that we can live in peace together, you have to start with the reality that something like 40 or more, well, more than 40%, well over half of the population favors those kinds of environments, and if they can afford them, that's what they're going to have. You can't make that go away. That's a majority, and majorities win out in a democratic society. So if you want to think in realistic terms about what's possible, I think you have to leave room for those environments. People, there are genuinely attractive things about the suburbs. There's the things that people live there, the reasons people live there have to do with the fact that the streets are quiet in the evening. They feel they feel safe, and they find the atmosphere attractive. Personally, a house that looks like what my wife likes to call a chauffeur's residence, with a huge garage and a small house sort of around the garage, is not my choice, but a lot of people want that. And you simply there's no point in trying to make it go away. I believe we have to organize our cities in such a way that there's room for that.
So how can we redesign suburban life so that it's improved and not so detrimental to our society and doesn't have such a cost of infrastructure or a cost on our environment?
Well, we do a lot of things that are really totally unnecessary and that aren't relevant to that issue at all. One thing is what is known to urban planners as leapfrog development, where a new neighborhood is developed on the other side of a green field from the existing city. That incurs all sorts of unnecessary public expenditure, and it's totally wasteful. If you got rid of leapfrog development, you'd have already an improved situation. The other thing is that just because people want to live in exclusively residential areas doesn't mean that there can't be clusters of what planners call mixed-use development, where neighborhoods where commerce and residents live peacefully side by side. That doesn't mean you can't have those clusters. So that the determination of a lot of cities to plan in such a way that areas of the city are either exclusively residential or exclusively commercial goes a lot farther than it has to. At the end of the day, it would not make it impossible for a neighborhood like Linden Woods to be the way it is just because in the nearby shopping center there are also some people living in apartment units.
What options do you see in Winnipeg in the coming years that could help us reverse the trend towards sprawl?
We should rewrite our plan. Our plan virtually mandates sprawl. And in fact, there was a well-intentioned effort to rewrite the plan, and there was public participation that went into the rewriting of the plan. But the public participation, as good as it is in itself, tended to defeat the plan, to defeat the original intentions of the plan. The intentions behind the plan were to do some of the things that I've just been suggesting, and not much of that has come through. Perhaps you don't want to say that there shouldn't be public participation in planning. On the other hand, it doesn't seem right that we should develop our cities in such a way that 60% of the population dictate to the 40%, and the 40% can't have what they want. So I think it ought to be possible to have a better coexistence of mixed use, higher density urban environments with the kinds of single family environments that most people prefer.
One of the things we've been talking about on the show recently is just the idea of the development of the rail yards. Do you think that could be part of the solution?
Oh, I think the rail yards offer a lot of potential. In fact, they're a very good example of the way some of that can be achieved. Because you're not dealing with neighbors who don't want to see mixed use anywhere around. You're dealing with really a clean slate, and there's no conceivable reason why there would be if developers want to make new mixed use development there. There's no conceivable reason why anyone would be able to object to it. It isn't going to affect their neighborhood. So yes, that's a wonderful opportunity to densify the city, to make it to address all of those problems, to make it so that we're less dependent on automobile transportation for everything we do, and that we're as a result friendlier to the environment. And also to provide an alternative. I think one of the realities that hasn't been addressed sufficiently is that there is, in fact, a demand for urban development, for a more urban style of development, and that demand is not being fully met. The demand for suburban residents is fully met, but not the one for more urban environments.
Thanks for coming and speaking with us, Leonard.
Thank you for asking.
I've been speaking with Chris Leo, professor of politics at the University of Winnipeg, and author of the blog ChristopherLeo.com. You're listening to MountainWater, MountainWater.org on CKW 95.9 FM.